head. Holy moly, there we go. Oh, man. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker here once again for night number four of my latest weekly stint here, guest hosting for Mike as he and Kathy and Molly are away on summer vacation or perhaps a staycation. Man alive, holy moly, about an hour and a half ago, I thought, well, we'll just have open lines for the first hour and a half or so of the show because there's a slow news day, not too much to talk about, wanting to hear from you, and I'm still going to try to do that. You can get in now, and hopefully I'll get to you. Our phone numbers are 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Write it down. So, yeah, I was, I thought we were going to have plenty of time for calls. And then all of a sudden, within the last hour or so, we've got so much breaking news. We're going to cover this all here as well as we can momentarily before going to your calls. Later in this show tonight, it's a big show. I'm going to be joined live in studio a little bit later on by Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny and Huffington Post. We're going to talk about all things political, you know, that horse race stuff, that red-blue stuff, that blue dog stuff, at least as it concerns the November elections and what we have to look forward to or not look forward to. When it comes to the horse race and congressional races around the country, no one knows it better than Howie. We have also got some exclusive breaking news of our own tonight. I'm not going to give too much away here yet, but boy, oh boy, is this a troubling development in a long-running case, a long-running investigation that we've been reporting on at BradBlog over the last several years. A new break in a case concerning election fraud, and it's very, very troubling. I will tease that out a little bit over this over the next hour. We're going to deal with that in the second hour and have someone who is going to join us from right in the middle of that case right here live on the Mike Malloy Show as we break this news. Did I mention it was troubling? But first, let me get to a couple of points here. Well, we do have a conviction in the California traffic station killing. I'm going to cover that in a moment, but I want to move right to the top here with a setback in an appellate court case, a setback for the Obama administration in the BP case, the Deepwater Drilling case. The appeals court, who they were fighting the moratorium, let's see, they had a six-month moratorium for drilling offshore that they put in place. A judge down in Louisiana, a district court judge, Martin Feldman, overturned that moratorium. And the Obama administration went to an appeals court to try to stay that, I guess not overturn, but try to stay that injunction that was put in place by Martin Feldman. Brad, Ernie Canning has been following this for us over at bradblog.com, our senior legal analyst. We had him on to talk about this earlier this week and about the conflicts of interest from the district court judge, Martin Feldman. This, well, let's bring him on and get the update on this appellate court ruling this evening. Hey, Ernie, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm okay. So the Fifth Circuit Appellate Court has done what? Explain what they've done with this moratorium that had previously been banned or overturned.
Well, the only thing that was before the court today was an emergency motion for a stay of Judge Feldman's preliminary injunction. If they had granted it, it would mean basically the moratorium would be immediately reinstated. They did not, although that there seems to be, I haven't had a chance to read the actual decision, but in looking at the news reports on it, there seems to be somewhat of a division on the court as to how these judges felt about the stay. There are two Reagan appointees on the court, mm-hmm. and it looks like their inclined to give deference to the trial judge, Judge Dennis, who is a Clinton appointee, felt that there should have been more deference given to Secretary Salazar's decision. He didn't feel that Salazar had acted arbitrarily, but he had some question about and went along with denying the stay, apparently because he has some questions about why a full 6 months was required.
Okay, well
not the end of the case.
Hang on a second, Ernie. Okay. Hang on. Let me just get this math here. So. Ken Salazar, on behalf of the administration, Secretary Salazar of the Department of Interior, says we're going to have a six-month ban on offshore drilling, exploratory drills in only 33 rigs out of some 3,600 in the Gulf that are continuing production.
Yeah, only the rigs that were similarly situated.
Right, so Salazar... Okay, Salazar says we're going to have this this moratorium. Feldman comes in and he says, no, I don't think so. I'm going to put an injunction on this moratorium. The administration goes right back to court to this three-court panel three-judge panel that they argued in front of today at the Fifth Circuit, and the three-judge panel. And they were arguing for a stay to keep that moratorium there. The three-judge panel says, no, the moratorium is the injunction on the moratorium remains, yet there is still an appeal, a full appeal ahead. Do I understand it correctly?
Right. Basically, it's that we're not going to immediately vacate the injunction. They may yet, and there will be a hearing scheduled sometime in either late August or early September on the full appeal, and they may very well reverse themselves at that time and reverse the district court decision. We don't know, but for now, the preliminary injunction remains in place.
Okay, and they had argued in that case, the administration had argued that the judge had acted, had abused his discretion. Is that correct?
They're continuing to argue that.
Okay, they're continuing to argue it, but they use that as the basis to say this is why we have to stay this injunction today, and the court did not buy it.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean they didn't buy it. What you have to show for the stay is similar to what Hornbeck Offshore Services had to show to get the original injunction, which is that there would be irreparable harm if you don't immediately stay this decision.
Okay.
So the court may very well have said, look, we don't see the irreparable harm in waiting till we hear the entire appeal on this, particularly because it's only a month away. The other interesting thing was that Hornbeck's CEO complained that he's not sure any of the companies who have the rigs are going to resume their drilling because everything's up in the air and they may not want to start doing any exploratory drilling when they might end up being stopped anyway. So it may very well be that it isn't irreparable harm at this point.
And the full case then, and Hornbeck, we should say, is the plaintiff in this case.
Right.
They were the ones suing to overturn this moratorium. The full case, I guess, the full appeal will then be heard August, I believe it's August 3rd, if I'm recalling.
Well, according to the AP report I'm looking at here, they're indicating that it will be towards the end of late August or early September, which appears to be what one of the three judges suggested is when the full hearing.
Well, they're just going to run they're just going to run out the six-month clock anyway on these court hearings, Ernie.
They could very well, particularly if they voluntarily don't do it. The other interesting thing is that the Justice Department attorney said that Salazar is still looking at, based on new information, a new revised moratorium that wouldn't be tied to the current decision. So that could still complicate matters.
Okay.
And the interesting feature of this, that came in since we were discussing the other day, besides the division of what these judges are, is that the judges we have on the Court of Appeal all have ties at some point in their career to the oil companies as well.
Yeah, they do. And in the case, by the way, you had mentioned in your coverage at Bradblog.com on this three-judge panel, though two of them are Reagan appointees and one of them is a Clinton appointee, You had pointed out that in the past they have ruled, this particular three-judge panel has ruled against the oil industry in the past, correct?
Yeah, that was Comer versus Murphy Oil. The odd thing about that case, even though they had reinstated the property owner's right to sue the oil companies over Katrina, what happened was that the oil companies then went before the full Fifth Circuit, and when they did, they couldn't get enough judges who didn't feel they had conflicts of interest to make a quorum, so that ended up just not having enough judges to make the quorum vacated the decision, and it ended up reinstating the district court's ruling in favor of the oil companies.
Gotcha. Thanks for this update, Ernie Canning. I do appreciate it. You can read more on this, of course, at BradBlog as soon as Ernie catches up with this news. Ernie Canning, California attorney, and BradBlog.com senior legal analyst. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Brad.
You bet. All right, when we get back, as I said, more breaking news, a conviction in Oakland, and federal gay marriage found unconstitutional. More on the Molloy Show straight ahead. Okay, welcome back. It is the Mike Molloy Show, though it is I, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, live and broadcasting from the West Coast, from beautiful downtown Burbank here with breaking news. One item, I'm sorry to say, after another. You can try to get in on the phones. I will try to get to them tonight. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150 on any damn thing you want to talk about. These are your airwaves. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. Now I just have to get to those phones. Of course, the one thing we won't talk about, don't call me now about politics, horse race politics for November, because Howie Klein's going to join us in the final hour tonight and hold your questions on that for him, on you know, who's running, who's winning, who's losing, all of that stuff. Anything else, though, is fair game as far as I'm concerned. I was remiss and forgot to mention that the BradBlog.com chat room is open for business during these live broadcasts. So stop on over there and say hey to your lovely hostesses, Jeannie Dean and Desi Doyen, who will also be joining us on the air in a moment for some breaking news concerning the BP disaster. But first this, this is from AP just before airtime tonight. A white former transit officer was convicted of involuntary manslaughter Thursday in the shooting death of an unarmed black man on an Oakland train platform in a 2009 encounter that set off days of rioting in the city. You may remember this. You may have seen the videotape of this. Prosecutors had wanted Johannes Messerli, I think that's how you say his name, convicted of murdering 22-year-old Oscar Grant, who was shot as he lay face down. Messerli was placed in handcuffs and taken away after the verdict. He turned to his family and mouthed, "I love you guys." His parents wept when the verdict was read. Grant's mother, Wanda Johnson, stared at the jurors and appeared upset. And the reason why was because the jury had a choice between murder and lesser charges of voluntary and involuntary manslaughter. Murder was tossed out by the judge, I believe, not long ago, so they had to choose between voluntary and involuntary. They chose the least onerous involuntary manslaughter, which should give him, involuntary manslaughter carries a sentence of 2 to 4 years. And the riot police are on duty tonight in Oakland and San Francisco following this verdict, which is sure to outrage some folks. Let's hope it doesn't get ugly up there. It had to. The cop in this case, as you can see in the video, just pulls out a gun and boom, shoots the guy in the back. The guy who had been, you know, lying down. He claims that the reason he did it was because he thought he was reaching for a taser, and he pulled out a gun instead. Okay. If you say so. One of Grant's friends, Jackie Bryson, testified that Messerli said, expletive this before firing the fatal shot. Defense attorney Michael Raines contended the shooting was a tragic accident. Masserli had no motive to shoot Grant, even though he was resisting arrest, the lawyer argued. Raines also said Masserli told a colleague before the shooting, Tony, I can't get his hands. I'm going to tase him. That's what they say. We'll keep our eyes on that situation. As I say, lots of breaking news tonight. None of it having to do with LeBron James. Oh, wait, maybe there will be. Not that I care about it, but we'll give it to you when it comes. I think he's making his... What is it? Tony's going to decide who the hell he's going to go play basketball with. Stuff that I don't really care about. Federal gay marriage ban ruled unconstitutional also late today. The federal law banning gay marriage is unconstitutional because it interferes with the right of a state to define the institution and therefore denies married gay couples some federal benefits. A federal judge ruled Thursday in Boston. U.S. District Judge Joseph Taro ruled in favor of gay couples' rights in two separate challenges to the Defense of Marriage Act, known as DOMA, a 1996 law that the Obama administration had argued for repealing. The ruling applies to Massachusetts, but could have broader implications if they're upheld on appeal. This is good news. I told you last night there was bad news out there in Hawaii, where the governor had vetoed a same-sex civil rights or civil unions bill. The hell with that. The hell with civil unions bills. If you're a conservative like me who believes in the Constitution and equal rights for all, then that means anyone who wants to get married should be able to get married. Much, much more breaking news straight ahead. Brad in for Malloy. Buckle your seatbelts. We'll be back. Yeah, some news in that Russian spy case coming up momentarily. Would have headed at the top of the show, but there's so other damn much breaking news here tonight. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. You can stop by the BradBlog.com chat room. But first this breaking news. See, we're getting breaking news on top of breaking news. Because I know everybody listening cares about this more than anything. NBA's reigning two-time MVP, LeBron James, says he's going to the Miami Heat. There you go. LeBron to the Heat. Who cares? But that's apparently everybody on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News care because they're covering it as if it's breaking news, as if it matters, as if there's more to the story than LeBron's going to the Heat. Okay? Done. Now, back to your previously scheduled news that actually matters. We're going to have Desi Doyen in here joining us in a moment, and I am going to try to get to your calls. No promises. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. One more point here I wanted to hit on this federal gay marriage ban that was ruled unconstitutional by a federal U.S. district judge in Boston. That was good news, as far as I'm concerned, as far as those of us who give a damn about the Constitution and, equal rights for all, equal protection under the law. The state had argued that the law denied benefits such as Medicaid to gay married couples in Massachusetts where the same-sex unions have been legal since 2004. And I'm not sure, but I don't think that Massachusetts has fallen into the ocean, and in case there's anybody out there, any of you wingnuts who are listening, your right-wingers who aren't, and I call you wingnuts and right-wingers as opposed to conservatives, because conservatives understand the Constitution, real ones, fake George Bush conservatives, the people who call yourselves conservatives who aren't, have no clue how the Constitution works. To the wingnuts, I just wanted to remind you, when same-sex marriage is legal for all, as it will be, whether you like it or not, it's not mandatory. You don't have to marry someone of the same sex. Just to be clear for you jackasses who panic about this nonsense. Let's see. So Taro, the judge, Judge Taro here, agreed that the law, the federal law, denied benefits And said that the act forces Massachusetts to discriminate against its own citizens in order to be eligible for federal funding in federal-state partnerships. The act, quote, plainly encroaches upon the right of the state to determine marriage. Okay? Are you phony conservatives out there who forgot what states' rights are about, even though you argue for them all the time because Fox News tells you to? This is a case of states' rights, obviously, and Massachusetts is saying that the federal law encroaches, quote, plainly encroaches upon our states' rights. That Defense of Marriage Act, that needs to be overturned. The Obama administration has argued for repealing it. Let's hope they do. Okay, let me get some more breaking news now on the oil spill from Desi Doyen, my co-host on the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations everywhere. 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment. I believe you folks up there in San Francisco can hear it at the top of the, not this hour, the next 8 p.m. or so. Or you can go to greennews.bradblog.com to hear it all anytime you want. Desi is going to join us some news that broke today before we, after we did today's Green News Report. From Charlie Crist out of Florida, what do you got, Des?
Oh, well, Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, who's a Republican, said on Thursday he's going to call
Is he a Republican anymore?
Well, it technically,
no,
that's
he?
The word, that's the R. That's he's still got an R in
He's still got
name.
An R? I
yes,
thought he was an independent. Okay, he's going to run as an independent, but he's still officially a member of the Republican Party or something?
I don't know if he's officially left
okay.
the Republican Party.
All right.
So he's calling a special session of the legislature in less than 2 weeks to ask lawmakers to consider a proposed constitutional amendment to ban offshore drilling for Florida.
Nice.
Yeah, so he wants the legislature to basically give the voters of Florida a say on whether they are going to do drilling or not off the coast of Florida. And the reason he's doing it now and having to rush it as he did was because the deadline is August 4th for any proposed amendments to make it to the November 2nd ballot. So he called this news conference together, and apparently, at least according to Reuters, he violated a cardinal rule of Tallahassee politics by calling for a special session without a consensus with legislative leaders.
Oh, boo-hoo.
And apparently right now, at the press event, they asked him if he knew how the House leaders for the state legislature were going to react, but he said he didn't know because they have repeatedly refused to return his calls.
Oh, man. All right. Well, so, but are they going to have that? He's just asking for that session?
Yeah, he wants to basically...
He can't order it, right?
I think he can order it. He's saying he's going to order it. I guess, you know, they're going to have some discussion about when it's actually going to happen. But what I thought was interesting about this is that, you know, the offshore drilling is already banned mm-hmm. by state law off the coast of Florida. But he said that, Chris said that, you know, in his press conference that House leaders tried in 2009 to allow drilling just 3 miles off the coast. Now, the Florida Senate killed that bill. But apparently, you know, there's enough back and forth in the legislature. He wants it made part
permanent.
Of the Constitution
Good.
Of Florida.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good news. Feeding on to the not as good news that we had earlier tonight at the top of the show, the three-judge appellate court down in Louisiana who refused to put a stay on the injunction of the moratorium on the oil drilling ban. In other words, the ban continues. No, the ban, the moratorium does not continue for the moment. They're free to drill if they want on those 33 platforms that the Obama administration would like them to not drill on for the moment, at least pending the full hearing on the appeal in August or September. Got that? Does that
yeah.
make sense?
It's a little crazy.
Yeah, I know. Just a little bit. Okay. Thank you for that update. Anything else for the moment?
Just that the first solar-powered plane completed its first night flight.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
It was pretty neat.
It was like a 24-hour flight, wasn't it?
Yeah, I flew. It's a 24-hour flight, and it was it apparently has the wingspan as big as a Boeing Airbus, and it's all solar panels on top of it,
Very
and it was
cool.
Battery-operated. So it's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
And, you know, it's not something you're going to fly on, but at least it's the beginning of, hopefully, a new industry. So.
Well, it's a solar-powered plane. Did it have, like, backup power just in case?
You know, I don't know.
Because I'm thinking it's going to be kind of scary. You're in a solar plane, and it's getting dark out, and that's kind of
But this
scary.
Was at night. You realize this was at night,
what
this
do you
flight.
Mean? He took off at night?
No. Yeah, he took off at night. He was flying at
that
night.
That was a 24-hour flight.
He
wasn't
was
it?
Flying in the dark.
But not for 24 hours.
Well, not 24 hours in the dark. He wasn't.
So it was. That's what I'm saying. So there had to be sun originally.
Right.
Right.
He was
so
running
he stores
off
up
of batteries.
Right. And then it gets dark. And then,
he was still able to fly.
I know. And then it gets a little scary that you're. Okay, we got it. All right. Go ahead and answer the phones, will you? All right. Well done. Desi Doyen. The lovely Desi Doyen of the Green News Report. 877-520-1150. Still more breaking news and our own exclusive breaking news in the next hour in a long running election fraud case, which is, I find it to be rather disturbing news. Let's, start narrowing it down for you. It's in Arizona. Okay. We'll give you some more as we move forward, and we'll give you the full story in hour two. All right, I'm going to hold the spies for a second, and let's hit some calls since I promised. Billy in Austin, Texas, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, I was going to chime in on this gay marriage controversy, and I'm getting a little tired of hearing about it. I'm a conservative in Central Texas.
So you're in favor of it, right?
I'm in favor of what?
Of same-sex marriage.
There's no such thing as same-sex marriage.
What do you mean there's no such thing? Well, you said you were a conservative, so I'm sure you're in favor of the ending these restrictions against people's equal rights under the law.
I think you're trying to put words in my mouth, and I wish you wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
What I'm saying is the problem started when the government got involved in marriage to begin with.
Right.
And started assigning benefits to spouses.
Yeah.
And the arguments that the gay folks want or what they want is that they want the benefits. They don't care about the sacrament of marriage.
Now, this is based on what exactly? Because I know quite a few folks who are gay who really do care about the sacrament of marriage and who want to be married.
Well, the sacrament of marriage was not ordained for same-sex couples or me with my horse.
Sir, we're not talking about you with your horse. What you do with your horse is your own business. But in this case, we're talking about marriage, which has been redefined over the years, over and over. As you know, there used to be multiple spouses. So, what do you mean?
No, it hasn't been.
No?
Not for me. No, not
for you.
Not for me. Not in my lifetime. Not according to. To my my history.
Really? No. Do you read the Bible, sir?
Yeah, sure.
So you're familiar with multiple wives in the Bible. You're familiar with multiple wives, a polygamous marriage that took place in Utah until they became a state.
I don't see your point. What difference does that make?
Well, my point is, you said that it was not ordained for same-sex couples or some nonsense like that. And how can you call yourself a conservative, sir? Don't you read the Constitution?
The point I'm trying to make is that the government should not be involved in any respect, in the sacrament of marriage, and that means granting licenses or assigning benefits, and all of that argument aside, the same kind of benefits can be done between same-sex people or same-sex unions.
Mm-hmm.
Contractually, without having to call it marriage.
Do you want to nullify all marriages that were carried out under the state?
I'm not saying I
want to
do that.
Okay, so you want to allow the state marriages to continue, you want to allow people to continue getting married under the state, correct?
What I'm saying, no, I'd like to see the government do away with marriage licenses and let people go and get married.
So you want them to nullify all of those marriages that the state has performed?
The marriages that were performed under the law back when it was constituted should be respected, and that's fine.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Fine, but we're talking about marriages that already exist under the state that they've licensed them. You don't want to do away with those marriages, correct?
You talk about the same-sex marriages?
No, I'm talking about any marriage that has already been licensed under the state. You're cool with leaving that. You don't want to nullify those marriages, right?
That's correct.
Okay. So you think that people should be allowed to be married under the state because they're, as they say, opposite sex, but you want to deny same-sex couples that right, correct?
I'm not saying deny them anything. They can call it what they want to call it.
How about we call it marriage? How about we call it marriage and the state says it's okay, as has been done in several states now?
Because the difference between you and I is I like to call things the truth, and y'all rely on sophistry.
Okay, good deal. Here's the truth, sir. You called yourself a conservative, which means you should give a damn about the Constitution. So I'm going to stand by George Bush's own Solicitor General, Theodore Olson, who has gone to court and ordered that constitutionally you cannot restrict two men and two women who both agree to get married to each other. I'm going to be the conservative here.
You ain't a conservative, pal. No, you don't know what you're talking about.
You ain't no conservative, pal.
Because I
ain't your buddy, pal. If you want to stand by the Constitution and equal rights for all, so that you can call yourself a conservative, sir, then
anybody
you better start being consistent.
Sure.
See ya. See ya, Billy. What? He hung up on himself? Not very conservative of him, was it? You see, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They ain't conservative. There's nothing conservative about them. They don't give a damn about the Constitution, equal rights, the rule of law. And I wish everyone would stop calling those guys conservative, because they ain't. And I'm talking about folks who are on MSNBC and on the left and everywhere else. Stop calling them conservatives. They're right-wingers. They're wingnuts. Nothing conservative about them. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Much more straight ahead.
Wake up at the night. In the middle of the road. Beating on the door that's locked. Been going out with where I belong. Days are short and the nights are long.
Jackasses are jumping up and down in Miami. What happened? What, Tony? Oh, you're so fired. They're jumping up and down in Miami because of LeBron James, and I couldn't care less. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy with Tony Sorrentino engineering and screwing up the music tonight. You're blaming the computer? Blaming the computer, huh? Crashed? Are we in trouble? Are we going out? Anybody hearing us? Can they hear us? We don't know. Maybe so. We can't tell. Okay. I'll keep talking. All right. We're all right. If you heard that last caller, this guy who calls himself a conservative, why is it that these conservatives, these so-called conservatives who aren't conservatives, why is it that these guys want the government in our lives? I don't know. I'm a guy who believes in states' rights. I believe in the small government. I don't want the government telling me I can't get married to whoever I want. I don't want the government telling me what to do. I don't want them in my bedroom. I don't want them telling me what medical procedures I can perform. But he was a jackass, not a conservative like me. More breaking news here for you. Federal judge orders Guantanamo detainee free. Federal judge has ordered the release of another Yemeni captive at Guantanamo, the 37th time a war on terror captive in southeast Cuba has won his unlawful detention suit against the U.S. government. Judge Paul Friedman's order, no relation, in the case of Hussein Almerfedi, okay, close enough, at the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C., instructs the Obama administration to take all necessary and appropriate steps to facilitate the release of the petitioner forthwith. His reasoning on why the U.S. had unlawfully detained Almerfedi, 33, held at Guantanamo since May of 2003, was still under seal. There we go again. I'm the conservative here because I give a damn about the Constitution and habeas corpus, and that we shouldn't be holding people in prisons forever since 2003. Over 7 years, this guy has been unlawfully detained. And you right-wingers who are in favor of this, we have now released almost 75% of those folks that we had at Gitmo. Remember, they were the worst of the worst. We can't move them. We can't take them out of Cuba. They're the worst of the worst. Oh, except for 75% of them so far. You see? Stop calling them conservatives. All right, I'll get to your calls at the top of the next hour, and then we will have some breaking news, some big breaking news out of Arizona on top of everything else. Some exclusive breaking news. I should say, I wanted to cover this Russian spy swap thing. We have now had the 10 men and women suspected of being Russian secret agents pleaded guilty today before a judge in Manhattan on Thursday. The latest step in a prisoner exchange between U.S. and Russia. They all pleaded guilty. They're sending them back to Russia. And what about what we're getting in exchange? Four spies of our own, apparently. I mean, you know, after the cheeseburger summit with Medvedev, you had all of these right-wingers saying, oh, look, spies in Russia, and Obama fell for it, and he's friends with the Russians. We shouldn't be friends. We're spying on them, too, you knuckleheads. The game continues. It always will. Pay attention, people. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Breaking news out of Arizona, Pima County, election fraud. Next hour, stay with us. After the hour, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly, very friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, raking the muck here tonight and all week long. Mike Malloy will return on Monday. Until then, you got me here, broadcasting the Mike Malloy Show live from beautiful downtown Burbank in sunny California. If you missed the last rollicking hour of breaking news, let's see. I'll summarize it for you in a moment, but let you know that we have our own exclusive breaking news here coming up this hour. You're not going to want to miss it. If you give a damn about elections, if you give a damn about things like paper ballots and voting machines and citizen oversight and all of that stuff, and I am going to get to your calls. There's a couple callers on the line who want to talk about that. That fine fellow from Austin, Billy, who called himself a conservative and he wants big government and doesn't want to mind the Constitution and all of that stuff. But I'm at 877-520-1150 this week, okay, to summarize the last hour of breaking news, one piece on top of another. The federal gay marriage ban was ruled unconstitutional in Massachusetts. That's good news. Officer convicted in a California train station killing for involuntary manslaughter. That's not great news. A white transit, former transit officer killed a black man who was lying there and he just shot him in the back. He claimed he was reaching for a taser and so he got pretty much the lightest conviction possible. Involuntary manslaughter. So folks up in Oakland and San Francisco are on pins and needles tonight, hoping there will not be riots, as we hope as well. Obama was dealt a setback in the appellate court down there, the Fifth Circuit Court, who said the stay on the moratorium for oil drilling can continue for now, at least until the full appeal is heard next month. Federal judge ordered Guantanamo detainee freed again. That's right. The worst of the worst. They're just letting them out because apparently they did nothing. But they had to be jailed for 10 years. And then there's the Russian spies who were doing a spy swap just like the Cold War days. Don't you love it? All right. Let me get to some quick calls, and then I'm going to get into a startling, a remarkable case, a new break in this case that's been ongoing for years in this investigation into a 2006 election in Pima County, Arizona, where there has been calls for recounts. They got a recount. Well, all of that straight ahead. Let me go to John in Los Angeles very quickly. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. John, what's on your mind?
Hi. Just regarding the last caller who called in about the gay marriage stuff.
Billy from Austin, yeah.
Yes. I have a couple of questions for him and all the people who are like him.
Yeah.
There are people who are what's known as intersexed, and what do you do about those kind of people?
They're not allowed. Not allowed. No marriage.
You can't marry one way. Yeah, they can't get married one way or the other if they go that way.
Yeah.
Because it used to be that the people who are intersex, you know, the doctor says, oh, no, we can't have this. We can't have this. We got to make them either a boy or a girl. And they make an immediate decision right there and have a surgery. And they hopefully get the gender right with the sex that they turn the child into.
Right.
And hopefully everything's fine. Well, some nowadays with the intersex organization, they're saying that we should hold off the operation to make them either a boy or a girl.
Leave them as they can
decide.
And those people might want to get married. Well, not if you're under the thumb of the big government conservatives who would like to run this country. Thanks, John. I do appreciate your call, my friend.
All right, thank you.
All right. Let me get to very quickly, Carl in North Carolina. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program. You're on with Brad.
Right. I'd just like to comment from old Billy from Texas. Why do people always, what if somebody were happy and they lived together for 30 years or so, and then they had to make some decisions, life and death decisions or the benefits or stuff, but they've been truthful and loving each other, but yet they can't receive anything, you know. They couldn't even, like, if they wanted to say, can I turn off his respirator or whatever, and they have no say-so with them. Why don't just leave them alone? And if they're good neighbors, if they're good people, just leave them alone. And what goes on in their home is their business, and let them live. I mean, don't, but yet they just want to, you know, you're not going to heaven. Who the hell knows we're not going to heaven? They don't know if I've ever been there. They can't just judge them. And Christians supposed to be so
I hear you. Thanks.
Let them leave them
alone. I hear you, Carl. I do appreciate that, and I appreciate your call. And don't let them give you any hell out there in North Carolina, sir. You're absolutely right. You know what? If you believe in the Constitution, if you call yourself a conservative, then you damn well better believe in equal protection under the law. I don't think that's difficult to understand. Do you? That's why I'm a conservative. I believe in states' rights. I believe in equal protection under the law. I believe in the Constitution. Why do you liars and teabaggers and right-wingers out there call yourselves conservative when you are nothing, nothing like conservative? All right, let's see. JM in chat says, at the bradblog.com chat room says, I'm a progressive and I don't think that was a fair exchange. Well, one, whenever you say I'm a progressive first, you probably ain't. That said, JM, if you want to go ahead and call us, then we'll talk to you. But let's see. He was saying, JM says, I think that Billy in Austin was trying to say the government shouldn't dictate marriage. Well, he might have been trying to say that. I mean, he was trying to say that, JM. No, actually, what he was trying to say is, I don't think government should be in marriage at all. It's none of their business. You know, the government shouldn't, you know, decide who can get married and who doesn't. It's none of that, whatever. But there's a problem with that. And the problem with that is the government has already decided who's going to get married. And everyone who has a state license under law, you can't say that, you know, my mom and dad can be married. They got a state license under the law, but you can't because we've changed the rules. They get to be married and you don't because you're gay. Ha ha. No, it's not how it works. Equal protection under the law. And that's why, yes, Theodore Olson of all people, Ted Olson, George W. Bush's Solicitor General, he's in court fighting against this Prop 8 nonsense out here in California. And it will likely go all the way to the Supreme Court, and we'll decide if, in fact, there's something in the Constitution that allows discrimination against gay people. If there is, I'm not familiar with it. Are you? No, it's not there. And, of course, the right-wingers, even the right-wingers like George Bush and all the rest, they know you can't do it according to the Constitution. That's why they're calling for a constitutional amendment. If the Constitution allowed it, there'd be no reason to call for a constitutional amendment banning it, would there? And how do those bans in the Constitution work? How do those bans in the Constitution work out? Ask the prohibitionist how that goes. Constitution is to protect the rights of the minority, not to restrict them. And in the meantime, equal protection for all under the law. It's really easy. Look it up. All right. Speaking of equal protection, we've got an election that happened in 2006 in Pima County, Arizona. It was a paper ballot election on Diebold optical scanners. It was an election, not a Republican, a Democratic election per se. It was for the Rapid Transit Authority. It was a big bond measure. And they had been trying to pass it for years. Actually, the Democrats were in favor of it. The Republicans were against it. But they could never get it to pass. And all of a sudden, in 2006, it passed for some odd reason, despite polls which said it shouldn't. Well, there are some questions about this election. There have been for a long time. These great election integrity activists down in Pima County have been fighting to count the paper ballots to make sure that the Diebold reported results were correct. Last year, after, 9 years, three, 4 years, they finally got their count on their ballots, their paper ballots. The Attorney General allowed them to take the ballots out of deep storage and count them. And they did. And I'll tell you the results in a second. We already know those. But what you don't know is straight ahead. Brad on Malloy. Summer nights indeed. Thank you for joining us. Forum here, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. He will be back Monday with Kathy, but we've got some of our own exclusive breaking news tonight here on the Malloy Show, and I find it to be disturbing. We are going to be joined at the bottom of the hour here by Attorney Bill Reisner to give us the breaking news. Let me set this up for you. In 2006, a special election in Pima County. There was this was for a tax. I can't remember what it was. A bond measure for the Regional Transit Authority. And it had been favored for many years by Republicans, Democrats. It had been opposed by Republicans, and it had been on the ballot year after year. It always failed, and then all of a sudden in 2006, it passed. It was run on paper ballots that were optically scanned, and for some reason it passed, and people kind of got suspicious about it down there, specifically the Democratic Party, who was, by the way, in favor of this thing passing. But now they have questioned it because there is evidence that the voting machines were manipulated. We've had a whistleblower step forward who says that there was evidence of rigging in this election. Now remember, just because you have a paper ballot that is marked by hand, it doesn't do you any good unless you bother to actually count it. And no one ever does. They just run it through the Diebold machines, and whatever Diebold tells you the results are, then that's what the results are. Now, if you saw HBO's Hacking Democracy, you know that you can hack easily a paper ballot, Diebold paper ballot optical scan machine. But you can also hack the tabulator even easier. So the only way to check against any of this stuff is to actually count the paper ballots. Well, the Democrats went to court. They had a fight. They fought for, you know, rights to look at the electronic databases. They found red flags, things that they were concerned about. And actually, not just the Democrats. It's a coalition of Democrats and Republicans and libertarians down there. And they had enough concerns that they thought these paper ballots should be counted. They had been held in deep storage in the Iron Mountain facility for years. They had to fight to get them out of this storage facility to count them. And what do you know, in the middle of the night comes Attorney General, Democratic Attorney General Terry Goddard, comes down, takes them out of Pima County, that's Tucson, doesn't tell anybody, brings them up to Phoenix and announces, I am going to count these ballots. And he does, and he counts them behind the glass. And you can't really observe very well. They wouldn't allow any of the observers, they were very restrictive. None of the observers could take notes, could talk to the media. It was quite disturbing. But at the end of it, Terry Goddard said that the count of the paper ballots affirmed that the election was accurate. Am I going to have time for this clip, Tone? Maybe? Close? All right. I'll hold it till the next thing, and then we'll bring Reisner in. But he said that, the count was accurate or was close enough. Now, in the course of that count, I had talked to Terry Goddard's office, and I said, are you guys going to count the poll tapes as well? Now, the poll tapes, these are the little receipts that are printed out at the end of the night at the polls that tell us what each machine reported. So if you're going to hack this election at the central tabulator, a good check against that would be to look at the poll tapes. What did the optical scans originally tell people at the precinct when the ballots were scanned? Now, Goddard's office told me that, yes, we are going to count those poll tapes, not just the ballots, but the poll tapes as well, because the poll tapes were stored in there, in the boxes, with the paper ballots, in the Iron Mountain storage facility for like 3 years. But by the end of the count, they sealed them back up, they put the poll tapes back in, they put the boxes back into storage, and they never counted the poll tapes. And that would have been how you would have, you know, checked to make sure that nobody played with the ballots in the ensuing 3 years. The 3 years that everybody knew they were concerned about this election, to make sure that the election officials didn't go in there and game those paper ballots to somehow try to make it match up with what the reported results were. Count the poll tapes. They had them out. They had them out in storage. Why didn't they count them? And why did Terry Goddard's office tell me personally that they would count them? Well, a filmmaker caught Terry Goddard discussing that when Goddard came out. Remember, again, Democratic Attorney General, who's now running for governor, by the way, in Arizona. He's the leading candidate, I think, out there. So he's running for statewide office. And but why did he not count the poll tapes? Why did he not let people inspect them? The election integrity folks down there were quite concerned about that, and so then they had to go back to court for another year to get at those poll tapes. Why should it be this hard for citizens to oversee their own elections? Why should it be that hard to count ballots and to count poll tapes and to count any damn thing that any citizen wants to make sure that their elections are accurate? Well, they finally got at those poll tapes. And Bill Reisner is going to talk about what we found, what they found in those poll tapes. And we'll also play a clip from this film when we come back with Terry Goddard discussing those poll tapes a year ago. Breaking news out of Pima County, Arizona. We will tell you the latest news now that we know what seems to have happened to the poll tapes. Straight ahead, Brad Friedman in for Malloy.
Order from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Program. Democracy is coming to the USA. Just how long will it take? Who can tell? We are breaking exclusive news tonight. Only here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike. And we're going to be joined momentarily by Bill Reisner, trial attorney from Pima County, Arizona, representing the Pima County Democratic Party and the coalition down there, who has been for years now challenging this questionable election in 2006. They call it the RTA election, the Regional Transportation Authority. It was a bond measure. The Democrats were in favor of it. And now and it passed, by the way. And yet now the Democrats are questioning it, challenging it, going to court, and they have been trying to get at the paper ballots that were used for years so they could count the original evidence and check it against the Diebold optical scan systems. Seems reasonable if you have a question about it. Count the damn ballots, the paper ballots. That's what they're for. They're no good if we don't count them. And no one ever does. So all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, Attorney General Terry Goddard, Democrat, who is running for governor in Arizona, he all of a sudden swooped down there last year, didn't tell anybody, took the ballots out of Iron Mountain storage from Tucson, brought them up to Phoenix, announced he was going to count them, and in the process of this surprise count to put this all behind us, I asked his office, will they be counting the poll tapes as well? The poll tapes come out of the optical scan machines at the end of the night, so you can, you know, check those as a check and balance against the paper ballots. It's what the optical scans saw that night, that day, when they scanned those ballots. And his office told me, yes, they would be counting those poll tapes, because they were in there with the ballots in the boxes, in the storage, in Iron Mountain. Well, they did their count. And Terry Goddard tells us that the count was pretty close to right. Election fine, mystery over. But he didn't count the poll tapes, as he had promised. Why? I don't know. But here was his press conference at the end of this, when he said that the count was correct, nothing to worry about. A reporter in Tucson asked them about his office's quote to me that they would count those poll tapes, which they didn't.
Recently, Bradblog reported that Ann Hilby made a commitment that your office would count the poll tapes. Was that done?
I'm sorry.
She had no such authority.
What he understood then, I apologize, and that was a misstatement or a miscommunication. And I'm happy to deal with that particular factor.
Well, your actual statement was, do we plan to examine those? Yes, we are examining all the evidence seized, including the poll tapes. That's a direct quote.
Then that was a misstatement on my part and a misunderstanding. I'm not an agent, and I'm not an attorney in our office, so I do apologize that I made that misstatement.
So the poll tapes were never counted?
Why would we count a poll tape?
Why would we count a poll tape, he wonders.
I mean, I don't see how they're relevant to the hand count.
Because they would...
The evidence and the final evidence of the election are the ballots themselves. And our effort was to examine the ballots as to the yes-no numbers and to report the result.
Mm-hmm.
The poll tapes are a different picture of the same process. The poll tapes are a different picture of the same process. So I would rather not use any intermediary. One of the reasons we did this was because there was suspicion about the electronic tabulation. And
mm-hmm.
so we were trying to do from the ground an independent review of the ballots themselves. That has been said many times over, that's the bedrock. That's the fundamental resource that we have to deal with.
So you see the poll tapes would have no value.
I'm sorry?
The poll tapes would have no value in your mind in confirming or,
I don't see how. is there any other press inquiry?
Okay, so that was Attorney General Terry Goddard, Democrat, who was saying he doesn't understand how the poll tapes would have any value. This after his office, as you also heard in that clip, told me that, yes, we are examining all the materials, including the poll tapes. And that, by the way, is from a film, Fatally Flawed, And you can get info on that, fatallyflawedthemovie.com. J.T. Waldron has been working on that for years, and he has been helping me at BradBlog to cover this story. Attorney General Terry Goddard says, why would we count the poll tapes? What does it matter? Even though his press spokesman told me they would. What do they matter? Well, they matter because if someone thought that this election was under suspicion for 3 years, like an election official, the election officials who have accused here, who have been alleged to have gamed this system, and there is evidence of that. They were printing out results for some reason before the election was over. Incredibly inappropriate, if not illegal. So what's up? Why didn't he count the poll tapes when he had the opportunity? Instead, they finished the count. They put the tapes back in the box, put all the boxes back into deep storage. The Democratic Party had to go to court again for another year to fight to get at these poll tapes. They finally have gotten at these poll tapes, which will tell us exactly how the ballots were scanned on Election Day at the polling place, and do they match up with those paper ballots? The breaking news tonight, I will leave it to attorney Bill Reisner to tell it to you. He's a trial attorney. He has represented the Pima County Democratic Party in election matters. His efforts in Arizona have recently yielded the largest release of electronic election databases files in history. And now they've brought us the poll tapes to confirm that everything is accurate in this election. Now we know for sure. Right, Bill Reisner? Welcome to the show, by the way.
Well, welcome, Brad.
All right. Now, what have you learned? You took another year to finally get at these poll tapes. Everything's fine? Nothing to worry about?
Well, of course, there are a number of things. So one of them is that 30% of the poll tapes are missing. They simply are not in the boxes. And that's compared with the last election we had in Pima County. Some citizens asked for copies of the poll tapes, and they were all there. 100% of them were there. So in this instance, 30% of them were missing. But
let me just underscore that, Bill. Out of 368 precincts, there are 112 poll tapes that are just missing, over 122 different precincts. 112 poll tapes missing. Is there any reason, before we get to your next point, is there any reason that you can think of that those poll tapes would not be there in those boxes?
Yeah, they're, possible evidence that the election was rigged. What happened was one week actually before the Attorney General grabbed those boxes, I wrote him a letter and told him that we were near agreement with the county to get copies of the poll tapes, but I didn't want to interfere with any criminal investigation of his office.
Right.
And we thought that the poll tapes would show possibly evidence that they had been falsely programmed. One of the key facts kind of behind the scene here is when Black Box Voting and Harry Hursty issued a report on July 4th, 2005, alerting election departments nationwide that the machine call-up crop scanner that had a separate use could be used to program the memory card on the D-ball machines to print false results.
Right.
And this, the Hacking Democracy shows Harry Hursty doing this.
Right. Then again, let me remind people, this is on the paper ballot opscan, D-Bolt opscan machines in this case, but really any paper ballot opscan machine works similarly. And he showed in this Emmy-nominated HBO film, you can see it, him hacking this thing by using a crop scanner device to program this memory card and hack it. So continue, Bill Reisner.
When this notice went out, the Pima County Election Department read it, and within 2 weeks they purchased one of these machines, which is simply a hack tool. And then I have under oath the computer operator for Pima County saying that he practiced with the machine, and he confirmed that, in fact, you can get it to print false results.
Why did he say that he bought this crop scanner device that he could use if he wanted to mess with the memory cards? What was the excuse that he gave for even owning this this device?
The excuse was to confirm, and here's a guy with actually a high school education, but to confirm whether or not Harry Hirsty was correct. And he claimed that although he could get it to produce false results, he couldn't get it to be incorporated into GEMS. And, of course, we saw in Hacking Democracy that, in fact, you could do that. And so he purported that it was essentially an investigation on his part to see if this was true.
He was confirming. He was doing his own investigation. Okay, so he's got this device that can be used. And this is this Brad Nelson?
Brian Crane.
Brian Crane, who does the programming for the Election Commission down there in Pima County. All right, so he's got a device to hack these elections.
Yeah.
We get to these poll tapes, you get to the poll tapes, and I want to hit this breaking news again here that you guys were able to uncover. Out of 368 precincts in Tucson, there are 112 poll tapes missing, representing 122 precincts. And I also, J.T. Waldron is reporting that 102 of the yellow sheets are missing. What are the yellow sheets?
The yellow sheets are the end-of-day certified precinct reports. This is the report signed by workers at the poll that said, you know, so many ballots we received, mm-hmm. so many were cast, so many were spoiled. It's kind of the statistical report for that precinct.
And so 102 of those are missing, a full third as well?
Yeah, a bunch of those were missing, and in fact,
All right, and we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back. We're speaking with attorney Bill Reisner, a trial attorney out of Pima County, representing the Pima County Democratic Party, who has challenged an election which they supported and won. And yet, for years, this is a 2006 election, they have been fighting to get at the actual materials, the ballots, the evidence from the op scanners to know that it was accurate. They finally got at the poll tapes now, and 112 of them, a full 30%, are missing entirely. And oh, guess what? 50 of the poll tapes that they did get don't match the final canvas. We will speak about that and more with Bill Reisner. You're listening to Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com with exclusive news tonight on The Molloy Show. Stay with us.
I don't believe that every vote counts. It's a problem. Gotta do something about it. Gotta help the folks who are down but not out.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Molloy program. Breaking news here tonight, only on the Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Brad from BradBlog.com. In Pima County, Arizona, an election that has been questioned since 2006. The Democratic Party has been fighting to get at the materials involved in this elections, the things that people, you know, ought to be able to oversee, that the citizens ought to be able to oversee. It took them some 3 years to get an actual count, a manual count of the paper ballots by Democratic Attorney General Terry Goddard, who said everything was pretty much fine. He told me, his office told me, they would also count the poll tapes, those things that are printed out by the op scanners at the precincts. And he said he would count those too, but then he didn't. And instead, they put those poll tapes back in the box with the ballots, and they put them back into storage. And the Democratic Party, who has been challenging this election, along with, frankly, some Republicans and some Libertarians, finally got at those poll tapes that Terry Goddard, for some reason, didn't want to count. And now we find that out of 368 precincts, there are 112 poll tapes missing. And this would tell us what was scanned on election night with those ballots. Why would the 112 poll tapes be missing? Well, Bill Reisner, the attorney who's been waging this fight now for years, is on the phone with us. Is there, Bill Reisner, welcome back to the show, sir. Is there any legitimate reason that you can think of why these poll tapes would not be there? And were they there when Terry Goddard performed his original count, the hand count, about a year ago?
You know, let me reframe this a little bit before I get to that.
You'll have to, I'll warn you, you'll have to do it quickly because I'm just about out of time, I'm sorry to say.
Okay. Our investigation, we didn't focus on that RTA investigation. That election was in May of 2006.
Right.
We made a first public record request in December of 2006 for the database. Then when they spent like $1 million keeping the database from us, we started thinking, what are they trying to hide?
Right.
The only thing they were trying to hide, it came to clear to us, was the RTA, and it appeared, and then all the evidence came up that it was rigged, and the guy that ran the ballot told someone that he rigged it.
That's the RTA, Regional Transportation Authority election. Okay.
Right. We told the Attorney General's office that if we looked at the poll tape, there would be clues on it that mm-hmm. would tell us whether they had used the machine to fraudulently program that. That's when he grabbed the ballots. But Pima County also has a machine that enables them to print ballots. It's called a ballot on demand system.
Mm-hmm.
And our second thing we asked of the Attorney General was to look and see, because the original ballots were printed on an offset press,
right.
and the county machine prints them on a high-speed laser printer, to see if those were the original ballots. Because our county manager had instructed the county attorney to tell Iron Mountain that no one could approach those boxes. But in our recent poll tape case, the Iron Mountain guy said no one ever told us that, and our customers, the county, could always come into these boxes.
The county could come in, the election officials, the
yes.
ones that were accused of having rigged this, did they come in? Is there record of them having come in? And I only got about 30 seconds, Bill, I'm sorry to say.
That's the next step in the lawsuit. I'm going to ask for permission to get that information from Iron Mountain.
And why 50 of the poll tapes that were there, the ones that weren't missing, they don't match the final canvas? Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. Yeah. That's right. They're precise.
How are they, far off by one or two? Are they off by a lot?
Yeah, I don't know how far off those are personally, because you know John Brakey and Mickey Donahoe looked at it, and that is absolutely their report.
Bill Reisner.
So it's not the end of this story.
No, I suspect it's not. We're going to try to pick this up tomorrow at bradblog.com. We'll have some more details from J.T. Waldron. You can check out some of the backstory on this, of course, at Bradblog, but also fatallyflawedthemovie.com. Bill Reisner, thank you very much for your time here tonight and for your years of fighting the good fight on this one, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Brad, for covering all this.
Wish I didn't have to. Thanks, brother. Have a good night. All right, coming back with Howie Klein, who didn't understand that story at all. So we'll explain it to him in a second. Howie Klein of Down with Tyranny. Brad, in from Malloy. One more hour ahead. Stay with us. Show hour number three tonight. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, in for Mike Malloy, who is enjoying a staycation this week, much deserved. He will be back with you on Monday, never fear. And I'm sure he'll say, God damn it, in the first hour. I've said it in the third. What do you know? Anyway, I hope you heard that last hour. If you missed any portion of it or the rest of the show, I do post to all of the archives at bradblog.com late night each night. So even if you're not a Molloy podcast subscriber, you can get to them there. Very disturbing story. We're going to talk a little bit more about it in a moment. But I want to let you know our number is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Howie Klein will be joining me momentarily. Just want to get the business out of the way. Things are still flying by as well over at bradblog.com. This show is flying by today, at least for me. Hope it is for you. You can jump into the chat room at bradblog.com, and the way things are going, I probably won't be able to read it until late night tonight. But let me think. What else other business did I have to do? I had to get something out of the way. Archives are posted. Chat rooms, phone numbers, 877-520-1150. Oh, I know what it was. Tomorrow night, I believe Clint Curtis is going to be joining us as well. A guy who really doesn't like me. At least he doesn't like my... covering electronic voting machines. He thinks e-voting is great. And he told Mike Molloy that he was going to cancel his podcast subscription. He did cancel his podcast subscription because Mike has me guest hosting, and sometimes I report important breaking news that has to do with election fraud. He's going to be joining us tomorrow night to tell us why I'm wrong and he is right, and it should be an interesting hour. He's an election... I don't think he's an election official, but I think he's a poll worker down there in Dallas. So we can look forward to that. Okay. Now, moving on here, my next guest. Wait a minute. Howie, do you want to introduce? Oh, here we go. I found it. I couldn't find my paperwork. Howie Klein blogs at downwithtyranny.com and Huffington Post. And can I do this Blue America Pack? Is this still accurate here? Treasurer. You still the treasurer, Howie? You can talk. You don't need to know.
Yes,
it's radio.
They just call it the treasurer in Pack World. I'm like the official of it.
Oh, you're the official
Whatever
of it.
It
okay. He's treasurer of Blue America PAC, which has raised nearly $1 million for progressive. Two? Three? You don't make hand signs. It's the radio. Yeah. You can. How many?
The last time I think I talked to you, it was around a million.
It was around a million. That's what I had for
three million.
$3 million.
So it's a PAC that only raises money for progressives.
Progressives.
Not for Democrats, for progressives. They happen to be Democrats, mostly. I mean, all of them.
I was going to say, do you have any who are not?
We had an independent that we were raising money for at one time, a long time ago.
Okay. Progressive, so he's raised over $3 million for progressive congressional candidates and other state candidates.
Okay. And occasionally we've done it. We're mostly about the House. But
From small donors?
Our average donation is about $45.
Nice. And where can people go to donate to Blue America PAC?
Well, if they go to downwithtyranny.com, on the right-hand side, they'll see this big blue button that says Act Blue. And if you hit Act Blue, you'll get to Blue America.
Okay, superb. We are going to be talking tonight about, in this hour, all things election horse race related. I have to clarify
there's one question I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
I was fascinated by something you talked about.
Yeah, what did I say?
This crop counter.
Crop scanner.
Crop scanner.
Yeah, in the last hour.
Okay, so that's like a farmer would use that, right?
Well, yeah,
How does that have to do with that election thing? That's what I didn't get.
Well, this is what's bizarre. These voting machines, these optical scan voting machines that they made by Diebold, they have these little memory cards. This works similarly. They have a little memory card, right? Well, this genius computer security expert, Harry Hursty, discovered, he said, I recognize this card. Where do I know this from? Oh, yes, they used to use this. It's like a 20-year-old technology, this particular card. They used to use this in these crop scanning devices. And to confirm this, he went out, bought one of these devices, and was able to reprogram the memory card on an optical scan voting machine in Leon County, Florida, and was able to hack a paper election.
Was this in 2002? 2000, I mean?
It was not. It was in 2005. And Ion Sancho, who oversaw the 2000 election recount, by the way, a great hero, the Leon County election supervisor of elections down there, he oversaw this test with this crop scanner machine card. And, in fact, it flipped an election on paper ballots. We knew what the results should be. It was a mock election. But when the poll tapes, remember the poll tapes we talked about in the last hour? When the poll tapes printed out, they said the opposite of what the paper ballots said. And this you can watch in the movie. Hacking Democracy was on HBO. I highly recommend it. And what we learned was that if you don't count the ballots, the paper ballots, and check them against the poll tapes, they can say anything. And that's why it's so disturbing in Pima County, as we broke tonight on this show, that they finally got at the poll tapes, and a full 30% of them, 112 tapes, are missing entirely from this election, where a whistleblower has said the whole thing was rigged. Does that make sense?
It does, and it's horrible. But what I don't understand, Brian, yeah. I know this is your world.
No, it's your world.
It's all of our world, but I know you yeah. know this stuff.
Yeah.
Now, from my perspective,
right.
Diebold has been so discredited.
Mm-hmm.
Why do people still use machines that they've made? Aren't they known as crooks? Don't they belong in jail?
Well, they do. They got rid. They sold off their election division, ES&S, who is also belongs in jail. They bought them up. The DOJ said, no, you can't own them because you'll have a monopoly. Like 70% of the votes. So they were just now, a couple of weeks ago, forced to sell it off, purchased by a Canadian company called Dominion. And you can read about this apparently only on bradblog.com. It's maddening. Dominion buys the Diebold assets that DOJ ordered the ES&S to get rid of. And then Dominion, who no one ever heard of, Canadian company, goes out and buys the third largest voting machine company, Sequoia. And lies about it and says, we bought all the assets, all the intellectual property. But you know what? Sequoia Voting System, their intellectual property, as I broke exclusively a year ago or two ago, is the intellectual property is still owned by a Venezuelan company tied to Hugo Chavez.
All right, two questions.
Yes.
First of all, a minor one. I could be wrong here. Sequoia, isn't that the one that Chuck Hagel used to steal his first election?
That would be ES&S.
Okay.
And I didn't say they stole it. You said they stole it.
No,
Chuck
Hagel stole it, yes.
Well, if you say he stole it, I'm not saying.
I say it.
You think he stole it?
I know he stole it.
He was the head of the CEO or board president or whatever it was of ES&S in Nebraska, the world's largest voting company. And, right, he ended up winning. The first time, I think, in 20 years that a Republican took that Senate seat, if I recall.
I remember writing about it a long, long time ago.
Right.
It was very disturbing. But he turned out not to be such a terrible guy, but
right.
he did steal the election. And then the other thing is,
yeah.
now, people say, okay, government shouldn't be doing this and government shouldn't be doing that. But one thing government maybe should be doing is counting the votes.
Votes, yes. Well, look, if it's we the people, if it's self-governance, right, we should be able to oversee our elections. We should be able to count these ballots. We shouldn't have to go to court. This is 4 years. This election in Pima County we talked about in the last hour, and we'll have the archives up tonight for everybody to hear, the breaking news. We shouldn't have to go to court for 4 years to look at the material, the ballots, these things. This is not the proprietary material of Diebold and ES&S and Sequoia and now Dominion. I mean, and you couldn't come up with a more tyrannical sounding name, it seems to me. It's we the people. This is what you want government. I'm fighting for a public option in our elections, apparently, Howie.
I think people can't get too excited that much about a transportation board election.
Right.
But they did steal the presidency, too.
Well, this is the problem. The reason that, and it's great, I love that it's a transportation board thing, because it's not a Republican or a Democratic thing. It's just an election that actually the Democrats were in favor of. They won it, and now they're challenging it because they said, wait, something's not right. These machines are not just used for transportation elections.
And do they have them
everywhere.
Do they have them in all the states?
Yes.
Georgia?
Yeah, but no, actually, only for in Georgia, it's worse. They've got touchscreen machines with no paper trail, no nothing. Even if you want to go to court for 4 years, there's nothing to get. Whatever the machines say, that's it. You got to buy it. Whatever Diebold tells you in Georgia, the first state to go all touchscreen, that's that. And I know you bring up Georgia because we want to get to a race there. Before we do, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk about Georgia and Oklahoma and anything else that you guys want to talk about. If you have questions about elections, Howie Klein knows all the answers. Everybody who's running, every state, he knows everything. Stump Howie, that's what we should call it.
Oh, no.
I was going to call
not that.
I was going to call it Hanging with Howie. But
I like
now,
that better.
877-520-1150. We're going to talk
stumping.
About Georgia. No stumping?
No.
We'll find out.
We'll talk about elections, but no stumping.
Oh, well, they're going to stump you now.
I mean, that. Come on.
Yeah, all right. Brad Friedman, in from Malloy. Stay with us.
Mother gives you. Alice.
Georgia.
Georgia. I know I'm supposed to talk, but I really like this tune.
The whole day through.
Welcome back to the Molloy Program. We're calling this segment Hanging with Howie. Howie Klein, the great Howie Klein, joins us live in studio here tonight. Howie Klein of Huffington Post and downwithtyranny.com. A message comes in for you, by the way, from the chat room. Howie, he says, Brad, tell Howie HuffPo needs to start a radio station with your program on it, even though their culture and community irks me a little.
Oh, that's a great idea.
That's from Mr. I Told You So in the chat room. Okay. Anyway, so we were talking last hour about Arizona. We're going to move down to Georgia. Although, let me ask you this. Terry Goddard, by the way, he's running the guy. He was the AG.
He is the AG.
He's running for Senate against crazy Governor. I'm sorry. Thank you. Governor Jan Brewer, crazy Jan Brewer. He was the guy, I'm sorry to say, who told me they would count these poll tapes, and he said they didn't, and they put them back. And can we trust this Terry Goddard, Howie Klein?
I don't have a lot of opinion about him. A friend of mine knows him. Everyone who I've talked to about him says the same thing. He's better than Jan Brewer.
Well, I was going to go get some guacamole after the show. Guacamole would be better than Jan Brewer.
I agree.
Guacamole for governor of Arizona.
I'm not sure if guacamole is better than Terry Goddard or not.
Well, some really good guacamole.
On the other hand, yeah, we have some really, really great races.
What do we got?
That pit horrible reactionary blue dogs against really, really good progressives.
All right, let's stomp some blue dogs here. Some elections coming up, some primary elections you wanted to talk about, I know, in Georgia.
Well, there are two important primaries this month. One is in Georgia and one is in Oklahoma.
Okay.
So the first one, and that's, of course, why we came back with Ray Charles, was in Georgia 12, which encompasses everything from Augusta to Savannah. So a big chunk of Georgia. It's a Democratic district.
Right.
Right now there's a really, really bad blue dog named John Barrow who represents the district. He voted against health care.
Mm-hmm.
He votes against choice. He votes against equality for gay people. He is just he disagrees with everything that Obama tries to do except war. He's for war.
Okay.
He's good on the war.
Okay.
From that perspective.
So he's the bluest of dogs. What's his name?
His name is John Barrow. He's
John
really,
Barrow.
Really bad.
Okay.
And he's running against an incredible African-American woman who is just an amazing person named Regina Thomas.
And
I've known Regina for a few years now, and she is incredible. She was one of the leaders of the state Senate, and she left the state Senate to run against Barrow.
Okay.
And because he voted against the health reform bill, the health care reform bill, she's got a real shot this time. And this is on the 20th, so it's coming right up.
Coming right up. Regina Thomas, how's she doing? How's she polling against John Barrow?
You know, neither of them is polling. What's happening now, like last night they were supposed to debate in Milledgeville.
Right.
Tomorrow night they're supposed to debate at the Atlanta Press Club.
Right.
He's skipping all the debates. He won't go.
He's
afraid to face her.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't want anyone to confront him and to ask him why he voted for all these really awful things.
Yeah.
And I mean, he basically votes with the Republicans, and it's a very Democratic district.
Okay.
The primary is very, very dangerous for him. He has a better shot in the general when Republicans can vote for him than he does in the primary. So he could be in trouble. She can win this one. She would have won last time, but Obama jumped in at the last minute and campaigned for him. Obama could very
for
well
him?
Do this. Yes,
for the blue
did.
Dog?
Yes. Obama, generally speaking, supports blue dogs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. I just looked it up here. 12th Congressional District,
that's
Savannah,
right.
Georgia. Regina Thomas for Congress.com. I suspect, can she use some money at this late date, or is it too late?
Oh, she can definitely use money, but I'll tell you something else, Brad.
Yeah.
If you go to our PAC, the Blue America PAC, we have a special Regina Thomas page where you can pick the TV show you want to advertise on. We did a TV ad, and you can pick the show you want it on, the city you want it on, and you can pay directly. And it's as little as $4 for some TV shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, CNN is, I think, $12 on Anderson Cooper 360.
Wait, what do you get for $12 on CNN?
Oh, I'll pull it up right now so you could actually
other than,
see it.
Boy, I could fill in a lot of jokes there. What do you get for $12 on CNN?
Well, it depends on the town.
Okay, but
you don't get the whole nation.
I see, the local show.
Right.
I gotcha. Really? Well, that's good to know.
So here it is, and Brad. You could see it from here.
All right.
For example, Bobby Jones Gospel on BET, $4 in Milledgeville.
And you can buy that yourself.
You can. Well, you actually put the money in.
Put the money
America,
right.
And but it goes right.
So what's
that.
The address to that for that?
Well, it's www.actblue.com/page/Regina.
Okay, so Act Blue, and then you find her. I gotcha. Okay, that's in Georgia, where, by the way, whoever the touchscreen machines there tell us was the winner will be the winner.
That's so depressing.
Sorry.
You could also buy HGTV, USA Network, CNN, all the different stations that people like.
You could buy ads on those stations.
That's
cool.
People love HGTV. Yeah. Everybody wants to buy ads on HGTV. We sell Rachel Maddow. We sell Comedy Central.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, it's just very, very inexpensive.
That's cool.
I don't think anyone has done it before, yeah. And we love doing it.
I should. I don't think anybody has either. I think that's very cool. I'm going to have to start paying attention to politics. All right, we're going to come back to Oklahoma, right? When we get back,
yes.
Here with Howie Klein, Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. What? Yes.
Play anything from West Side Story.
Okay,
when we
West
come
Side
back.
Story coming back. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us and your calls. Is that what it is?
Right.
What? That's it, right? Yeah, Flaming Lips. All right. Tony was they were trying to get some Oklahoma music, and shy of playing Oklahoma, they got an Oklahoma band. Brad Friedman back with you on the Mike Malloy Show, hanging with Howie Klein of downwithtyranny.com and Huffington Post and all the rest. We're talking about. Well, I was going to say red, blue, right, left, politics and elections coming up, but really it's blue, blue here. We're talking about these goddamn mad dogs, blue dogs.
Blue dogs.
There we go.
A lot of them are mad dogs, Brad.
I know. And we wanted to give that address again because somebody in the chat room had asked for it for Regina Thomas, who's running in the 20th district.
12th.
12th, thank you, in Georgia coming up on the 20th of July. That's what I was thinking. Actblue.com. And it's kind of cool because you can buy an ad on the air in the 20th district for like $4.
You watch the ad on the website.
Watch it. Yeah.
Then you pick the city you want it in, and yeah. You pick the program you want it to play.
Cool. Actblue.com/page/Regina. In the case of Regina Thomas, who's running against this, blue dog. Congressman John Barrow. Let me take a quick call, by the way, 877-520-1150. If you have a question on any of these races, I'm going to go to Ron here. Actually, before I do, Peej in the chat room wants to know why I can't get a printed receipt of my ballot to verify if there's a problem. Because you can't go out and buy and sell your vote to people, and that's what comes of having a printed receipt.
Which is probably why he's asking the question.
So he can buy and sell
Well, a lot of people want
to
know.
To sell his vote.
Well, they say why can't I have a receipt so I know my vote's counted?
Well, now they know.
But now they can't. They're buying and selling. But here's the deal, and this is why all mail-in ballot is a bad idea, because you can buy and sell your vote via absentee ballots really easy, can't you? And
wow,
I keep
so
trying to tell people that. And Democrats love the vote by mail.
Well, so many more people vote. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, that's great. More people vote. I know the political parties like it. Republicans and Democrats like it for that reason, because they can get people to vote. But it's even a worse black box. You drop that in the post office, it's still counted by these op scanners that we were talking about in the last hour. Go to your polling place on election day.
I always do.
And by the way, if you're in Georgia for this election, right? Very important. Here's what you can do, because it's an all Diebold touchscreen state. Very important. Get an absentee ballot if it's not too late.
Not too late.
Get one. Don't mail it in, though. check and make sure that you can do this, but in most places, you can bring your paper ballot to the county or your precinct on election day. That gives you the best chance, at least as far as Georgia goes, of getting your vote actually counted and actually counted accurately. Otherwise, all touchscreens, whatever the machines say, you know, they'll be electing Alvin Green. Okay, let me get to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for the great Howie Klein, sir? Oh, Ron. All right. Too bad. He wanted to see his question was he wanted to vote out all incumbents.
Well, you know, that's usually a pretty stupid thing to say, but he's not so far from being right.
Oh, wait, I had the wrong
right.
Ron. There was two Rons. Yeah. That's why. Hey, Ron, are you there from Prescott, Arizona?
Yes. Hello, Brad.
Okay,
hello,
there was two Rons. I had the wrong one. Ron. All right, Ron. What's your question, sir?
Well, I agree with you, Brad. The only way to have fair elections is paper ballots counted by hand. But my question is, what if all Democrats and Republicans vowed to vote out all incumbents in 2012?
Well, for one, correct me if I'm wrong, Howie, but you'll end up with Republican majorities in both houses if that happens.
It would probably happen that way because Republicans will just lie. The other thing is why is he picking 2012? Well, why not 2010?
Well, the primaries are already over. I'm talking about in the primaries.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Incumbents and Republicans vote out Republican incumbents in the primary.
But you see, Ron, generally speaking, let's put it like this. Every Republican in Congress now, in both the House and the Senate, deserves to be voted out. So I agree with you there. In terms of the Democrats, I would agree with that the vast majority of them deserve to be voted out. But there happen to be, not many, but a few really amazing, incredible public servants who are serving in Congress now. Like, I would say Alan Grayson, for example, from Orlando, Florida, just to pick someone at random, is worth any 20 members of Congress. So I would never want to see him voted out. He's really, really amazing. That's the flaw in your thing. You're not going to find anyone as good as him, no matter how hard you look.
That's true.
Yeah, but how
see, there it is. No, but Brad already said it's true.
I agree. You're done. All right. Thanks, Ron. Though I appreciate the point, though. I think he's making a sensible point rather than throw out all the bums in the final elections.
But you know what? There is a bum that we can throw out in Oklahoma. Now, we just listened to that wonderful song by the Flaming Lips.
Going from one of the worst states for voting, Georgia, to one of the best states, actually, Oklahoma, which has a full public option. It's actually, they have paper ballots and the op scan machines. They bought them from ES&S, and then they threw them out of town, and they completely publicly run their paper ballot system. It's still op scan, but it's publicly run, not proprietary. Isn't that good?
That's amazing and shocking to me.
And that's why we almost never hear any problems at all out of Oklahoma when it comes to elections. So who you got in Oklahoma for?
Well, right now there's a really, really bad reactionary blue dog in the 2nd District whose name is David Boren. I'm sorry. See, I just made the mistake I was going to try to talk about. His name is Dan Boren. His father is David Boren. David Boren was the governor. David Boren was the senator, mm-hmm. and David Boren is now the president of the University of Oklahoma. His really, really stupid son, Dan Boren, who's a moron, is a congressman, and most people think that they're voting for David, who the kind of smart, intelligent, well-meaning governor, senator, university president, but they don't realize they're getting the moron son.
So this is he's a congressman from
the 2nd District of Oklahoma.
2nd District of Oklahoma,
which
Dan Boren.
Which is the eastern part of the state.
Okay.
Now, the very best state senator of Oklahoma is a guy named Jim Wilson. He is amazing. This guy is absolutely amazing. As a state senator, he has decided, again, after Boren voted against the health care reform bill, this guy decided he would run in the Democratic primary, and that primary is the week after the Regina Thomas primary, so it's the 27th of this month, the 27th of July, obviously a Tuesday. The people will have an opportunity to get rid of Dan Boren, who is arguably the worst member of the Democratic Party in Congress.
Now, can you buy commercials in that same way for Jim Wilson?
No, we didn't have enough time to put that together.
Okay.
So if you want to donate to Jim, you just go to the regular page, the regular Blue America page, Blue America 10, which is the one that you'll find if you go to downwithtyranny.com.
Wait, is that different than actblue.com?
ActBlue is like...
You've got too many domains.
No. ActBlue is like MasterCard or PayPal. It's a way that you can spend your money. It's not an actual... You can just buy things using that. And ActBlue is so it's, think of it as PayPal.
Okay.
And then Blue America is the pack that I run.
BlueAmerica.com.
Yeah, well, something like that.
Man.
You have the address there.
I was trying to look it up. You can also go to Jim Wilson's page at... no, that might be the wrong Jim Wilson. I'm not going to take any chances.
Right. The best thing to do is to go to downwithtyranny.com.
There you go.
Press the button that says Act Blue. It'll take you right to the page, and you can donate to Jim Wilson.
Jim Wilson, what's wrong with Dan Boren other than he's a moron?
Blue dog moron.
He's another blue dog, one of these corporate...
But one of the worst of them.
Really?
So, I mean, he's on the natural resource committees, and he's the only Democrat who takes huge amounts of money from big oil. Big oil gives 70% of their money, or a little over 70% of their money, to Republicans. But they give it to a few very, very conservative and corrupt Democrats. Boren is one of them.
Conservative or corporatist right-winger?
Both.
Okay. Well, because
they usually go together.
Well,
not. I didn't say they always go together. I said they usually go together.
All right. 877-520-1150. If you have a question for Howie, 877-520-1150. Don't wait until it's too late, because we're going to be done soon. All right. So how does it, you know, everybody's talking, and we'll get to more specific races in a second.
Oh, I got a great one I want to talk about.
But go ahead. I was going to ask you for the broader outlook, but you want to talk about the specific?
Oh, I do. I want to talk about, you know who John Boehner is, I'm sure, right?
Okay, yes, I'm familiar with John Boehner.
Well, some people don't.
He's orange. He's the orange majority leader of the U.S. House.
And what's his favorite sport?
What is his favorite sport? What? You can't mime it here. It's what the radio.
I'm giving you the.
You're trying to make me look smart. Well, golf. Golf is his favorite.
Yes, you got it.
I knew it. See, he's very famous all along. Yes,
he's very famous as a golfer.
Yeah, he's a golfer and a drinker and a shicker.
And he's orange. He claims that his orange is from golfing, not from a tanning salon.
Right.
Although he's been seen coming in and out of tanning salons.
Right.
In any case, he lives in a gated.
Community.
Yes. Well, a gated golfing community.
I see.
And right outside of that gated golfing community is this big giant billboard.
Right.
And Blue America is buying that billboard, and Boehner will never be able to get in and out of his.
And what will it say?
It's a wonderful billboard that is for his opponent, Justin Kasuli. And Justin is this amazing kid.
I think you broke your headphones when you were doing golf swing.
I think it was that horrible John Boehner who
it was
broke
the golf. All right. So you're going to have to fly naked here without headphones for the moment.
Justin Kasuli, he's this guy. He's a young father. He and his wife met each other when they were cadets at West Point.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a real straight arrow kind of guy, and very, very, very progressive, really intelligent, awesome guy. Hopefully listening right now. I called him and told him to listen.
Does a guy like Kasuli running against the minority leader and John Boehner incredibly... would be Speaker of the House, most likely, if they take back the majority. Does Kasuli have a chance against a guy as powerful as Boehner?
Well, you'll have to tell me. Is it a cheating state? It used to be a cheating state. They've got that great
Ohio, right? Yeah.
They've got that great Secretary of State, Brunner. Did they just fix everything?
Well, not everything. Not everything, and the corruption continues at the local level. When you hear in Ohio where they say, oh, nothing can go wrong because we've got two Democrats and two Republicans who run all the election boards, don't believe it. Oh, don't believe it. These guys, it's just like what we saw in Kentucky where they took Republicans and had them turn into Democrats. And then, you know, although they're election officials. Now they're Democratic election officials. They never voted in a Democratic primary in their life. No, it's not good.
Okay, so most
but
of the people...
But it's better. It's better than it was under Blackwell, that's for sure.
Most of the people in Ohio 8, the district in western Ohio that Boehner represents, are not Republicans. They're independents. There are more independents than there are Republicans or Democrats. So, yes, Justin does have a shot to win if people want to believe in him.
Justin?
I believe. Justin Kasuli.
Justin Kasuli.
Yes.
All right. We're writing him down. Justin Kasuli. What's the district? 8th district?
The 8th district
of Ohio.
What's
the big county there? Is that
Butler County.
Oh.
That's the big one. Oh, is that
Yeah. Yeah, go look up Butler County.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, not a good county. All right. I got to take a break, don't I? Shoot. Whoa, man, it's flying by. All right. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. One more segment here with Howie Klein, hanging with Howie and supporting John Cassulli, Jim Wilson, Regina Thomas. Is that it?
That's it.
We're going to have to work quick. Fly through in the next segment of who people need to support. Taking on the Blue Dogs. Had it with these, conservative corporatist Democrats. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
In our window, the FM set was reggae.
Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com, and the great blogger and a troublemaker and muckraker his own self. Our final few minutes here on the program. If you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can stop by tonight, late night, at BradBlog.com. Otherwise, please support the Mike Malloy Show. Subscribe to a podcast. I've already cost him one subscriber, and that subscriber will be joining me tomorrow night to tell me why I suck. All right, my thanks also tonight to Bill Reisner in Arizona, Ernie Canning out here in California, and, of course, Howie Klein in studio. My engineer, rocking the board as always, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, sir. Producer and call screener and green news babe extraordinaire Desi Doyen. My thank you, darling. Jeannie Dean at the BradBlog.com chat room. And, of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy. You guys are almost back next Monday. I hope you're taking it easy. Also, if you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid right after this broadcast. Okay, Howie Klein, we got just a couple of minutes here left. You got some other races that we should keep an eye on for, some more Blue Dog bashing?
Yes, let's go down to Florida for a second.
All right.
And I know that they listened to Mike in Tampa.
Yep.
And just east of Tampa in Hillsborough and Polk County,
yep,
is a really important race. It's an open seat. The congressman right there now is, they call him Howdy Doody Nimrod, but it's actually, his name is...
That's not his real name, is it? Howdy
no,
Doody Nimrod?
He was called that on the House floor, and he looks like a,
really?
He looks like a Howdy Doody
on the House floor, U.S. House floor?
Yes.
Who called him Howdy Doody Nimrod?
Marion Barry was drunk, and he referred to him as a Howdy Doody Nimrod. And it ruined the guy's career, because no one could look at him straight for the rest of his career. And he's resigning from the House, and he's running for state agriculture commissioner.
So we don't have to defeat...
His name is Adam Putnam.
So we don't have to defeat Howdy Doody Nimrod.
No, it's an open seat.
Oh, okay. So Adam Putnam, otherwise known as Howdy Doody Nimrod.
Yes.
Okay, he's gone.
He's gone. And so there were two Democrats.
All right.
There's a lifelong career naval officer named Doug Tudor, who's extremely progressive, a really great guy, very, just the kind of guy we'd want as a congressman. And he's running against this corporate shill, who just awful Blue Dog named Lori Edwards. In fact, she's the only non-incumbent that the Blue Dogs have endorsed this year, and they've been funding her. And she's just
there's an actual organization called Blue Dogs.
Yes,
yes,
Blue Dogs are not it's not an adjective. It is an actual caucus. They have officers. They have dues. They have a secret handshake. They've got everything.
and they actually do endorsements. And they've endorsed Lori Edwards. So you like Adam Putnam?
No.
That's Howdy Doody.
I like Doug Tudor.
Doug Tudor. And that's...
He's the progressive.
He's the progressive, and that's in Tampa. What's the...
Polk and Hillsborough counties.
Hillsborough County. What's the district there? That's...
Good question. I think it's Florida 12.
You think it's Florida 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Florida 12. Doug Tudor. All right. So we got Doug Tudor down in Florida 12. John Cassulli is actually, though, that's... John Cassulli's running
in Ohio.
In Ohio, but against Boehner, right?
Yes.
He doesn't have a primary. that he has to get over.
The primaries are finished.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes, it is.
So John Cazulli will be facing Boehner. We got about 1 minute here.
I promised some breaking news.
Yeah. Oh, you got some breaking
news? It's happening right now.
What is?
Well, it just ended.
What is it?
The Miami-Dade County Republican County Committee.
Yes.
The chairman of that committee.
Yes.
Is also running for Congress, and his name is David Rivera. He's this little crook, and he his Republican opponent found these documents, which I printed it down with Tyranny today, that show that he was guilty of, or that he was charged a few times with domestic violence crimes. He was beating up women, basically. Mm-hmm. And he had the, when this Republican ex-Marine came to this committee meeting today, he called the police, this guy Rivera called the police and had him escorted out of the building. Now, no one has reported that yet. That's something that just happened.
So we're reporting it, breaking more news tonight.
We are breaking news, Brad.
Okay, David Rivera is no good yutz.
He is a no good yutz.
And you've got the documents to prove it.
Yes, it's at downwithtyranny.com. And except for the fact that LeBron guy, got all
LeBron?
The news about
never heard
Florida.
Of him. Never heard of him. Who is he?
I'm from Ohio
Miami,
and Florida. And
not ringing a bell.
No.
Sorry to say. Hey, Howie. Thank you, brother. You rock.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in here tonight. And thank all of you listeners coast to coast and around the globe. We'll be back here one more night with you. And if we don't have all that breaking news like we did today, maybe we will get to your calls. I think Clint Curtis joins us tomorrow night. And a guy who doesn't like me. Until tomorrow, we'll see you at bradblog.com. Thanks a lot, America. Keep it lit.